Podcasting 2.0 for November 5th, 2021, episode number 61. Remember the 5th of November. You got to look that one up yourself. Hello, everybody. Time once again for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything happened at podcastindex.org. We got the podcast namespace and, of course, the gossip, the intrigue, everything, the ideas, the futuristic thinking from podcastindex.social. Hello, everybody. I'm Adam Curry in the heart of Hill Country, Texas, and in Alabama, transmitting his viral load worldwide. My friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, say hello to Mr. Dave Jones.
I'm not dead. I made it.
Oh, Dave, man, I feel so bad.
I'm a snot factory. I mean, this is like my long-term goal to keep the rest of my family from getting near my microphone. This is all part of the plan.
I don't even know if I want you in my earphones, quite honestly. It's like just spitting through. You okay, though, man? This is not a return of the Rona, is it?
No, I've had two COVID tests, both negative, but... I mean, based on the way I felt the last few days, it was almost as bad. If you'd have thrown a little fever in there with it, it might have been COVID level.
Jeez,
I don't know what this thing is. Like, you know RSV?
Yes. Yeah, a lot of kids have RSV right now.
Yeah,
it's respiratory or something virus.
Chinchilla? Respiratory chinchilla virus?
Chinchilla?
It's like... okay, I gotta look it up. RSV virus.
Yeah,
the respiratory syncytial virus.
There you go. I think usually received by children who've been wearing a mask in school all day.
Right.
No, seriously, that's part of the problem, from what I understand.
Syncytial virus. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So the doctor said that it's good. Like you said, it's going around hard right now, and with kids. What she told me was with kids, it tends to just be like if it doesn't get serious, it tends to be just like a cold.
Right.
But with adults, if it gets into you pretty hard, it gets into the head and the throat.
Then you become impotent, right?
Gotta hope not. I didn't see that on the Wikipedia.
Well, let me add it. Hold on.
That's the chinchilla version. She said it can wreck you pretty hard if you get it as an adult, which I don't understand really. I may be more ranty than usual because I'm...
Finally a little spark.
My blood to Sudafed ratio is about 50-50 right now.
All right, everybody.
So I don't even know what I'm saying.
That means crank up those value sliders. crank up your per minute sats and get ready to boost as hard as you can because Dave is really going to need it.
Boost!
and let me start off our board meeting by saying how much I despise being from the future.
Oh, I thought you enjoyed being from the future.
Oh, it's so tiring. Like only 1 week ago did I complain about the potential of transcripts getting completely fucked up and everyone doing their own thing. And then right away, there it is. There's Amazon doing their own thing.
It's like they heard you and were like, go.
Let's release it. Release it. He's ready for us.
Yeah. This was like the week of proprietary bull crap to the extreme.
And what this tells me, because I was listening to, I don't know, it must have been James, because he's the one that did the research, and I appreciate it. Because this kind of started with per word timing of transcripts, which works advantageously for a whole bunch of reasons, particularly with what we're looking at Fountain, how they do the non-waveform editing. I think that kind of resolution gives developers more granularity in general, how to display, captions, subtitles, transcripts, translations.
Mm-hmm.
James put together a whole thing that shows me how to get the word for word translation from Amazon. I'm sure if I really focused on it, I could get it done. No problem. But I mean, I really just want a provider that can just poop this out. I'll pay for it. If it's someone who wants to do this for value, I'll put you in the value block. I mean, there's different ways. I'm using Otter right now and it works fine. It does not do that word per word, but more egregiously, or not egregiously, the opposite. What I'm seeing is everyone's trying to build their fiefdom. Apple's building their fiefdom. Amazon's building their fiefdom. Google to some degree. Well, they are actually, because they're, you know, Google just buy some podcast or something. Everyone's trying to build their little fiefdoms thinking that, well, it's really all about the content. Mm-hmm. And while, yeah, it is, it also isn't, because you can't be, people already are having issues with streaming video platforms. They don't want, and this is just, do your research. They just, look at Rogan. I mean, seriously, look at Rogan. How many people are like, okay, you can definitely pull me over, get me to take some action to be able to continue listening or watching. But it's not really what podcasting is about. People have this, you know, it's like you've got a radio and you've got as many push buttons as you want, and you can customize this radio, and you want this shit just to come in there. That's what the entire culture is. So they're losing. They know they can't do it. They know they can't beat us. So instead, they're just going to build their little fiefdoms, and we'll have some noise, I predict, for another 24 months. And then these players, Amazon and Google, certainly will become insignificant to me. I think to most.
What do you mean by insignificant?
It's not important. Their apps. So already people are starting to discover the issues with the quote unquote, the big apps. Let's just leave Spotify out of it. Apple doesn't update for hours and hours and hours. Yesterday, someone said, "Hey man, you haven't uploaded to Google Podcasts." So I always take a little time and say, well, that's not exactly how it works. What is happening is they're not taking advantage of the Podping system, which is I wrote it differently, of the something like the instant update Podping system, which, you know, updates podcasts on apps that participate within 40 seconds. Get a better podcast app, newpodcastapps.com.
That was nice.
So they cannot compete.
Yeah.
They can't. And their whole DNA doesn't allow them to compete. Doesn't allow. We didn't invent this fucking pod ping. Can't be using that here.
Well, you know, what I thought was funny was that James had mentioned that Apple had looked at Podping and was concerned about that it was still under development, quote unquote, which it's not anymore.
I mean, who said that from Apple?
No, no. Hmm. He had mentioned it yesterday on podcastindex.social. Hmm. And, you know, all software is continually under development.
Yeah, sorry. So now that we know that the Apple podcast app is the gold standard and it's all fixed and there's no bugs, we'll consider that no longer under development.
Yeah, it's baked. It's finished.
Yeah, it's baked. It's done. Yeah.
So, you know, the issue here, though, is that Podping has been running for, a year. How many months now?
Months, yeah. Not a year, but a long time. Months and months and months.
It had one issue about 2 months after we went live with it that was corrected, and it's been running for minimum 8 months with, I never even look at it. It just runs. It does its thing. It's a fully functional, stable piece of software.
Well, you know, that's because Brian is up 24/7, making sure everything's working all the time. He's always tweaking it. I'm kidding.
No. Yeah. I mean, if that's the excuse for not, not tapping into the ability to interop with everybody in an efficient way, then, well, you know, how do you explain all of their all in both with both feet on everything else they do that's broken? I mean, it's like, well, you know, I don't want to look at Podping because, you know, it still says, you know, it's fairly new and it still says it's under development, but we have all these other systems that are proprietary that we run internally that are all also completely broken. It's like, yeah. I mean, I can guarantee you that Podping is much more stable than Apple's aggregator is. I promise you that. The whole thing that gets lost here with all this stuff is interop, and that I want to go back for a second.
Wait, and read. Wait. How far back are you going?
To September of last year.
Okay. Hold on a second.
Have you got the wormhole?
That's what I was looking for.
Looking for the wormhole.
Yeah. You'll just have to go without the. I don't know what happened to the wormhole. No, the wormhole is gone. What happened to the wormhole? All right. I'm sorry. Keep going. Well, I'll look for the wormhole. Oh, wait. Here it is. I found it. Here we go. That's a better one. Now, let's go back in time with Dave Jones.
When did that. Okay, I'm going to leave that. The Rules for Standards Makers by Dave Weiner.
Mm-hmm.
It is the Bible that we live by. Within podcasting 2.0 and the namespace development and all of the open standard development that we do here at this project. And I want to note the first few lines here. Rule number one, interop is all that matters. That's rule number one.
Mm-hmm.
And the explanation is, we want interop so that users are free to move. So our products compete on the basis of performance, features, and price and not lock-in. It honors and respects the users of our products.
Yeah, that's the opposite of what everyone is doing, what the big guys are doing. The opposite. They don't respect
that.
Yeah.
That was one of my biggest pet peeves with Amazon's. And it's not just Amazon. Other people are doing their own proprietary transcription as well. If the podcast feed specifies the transcript tag in it, then the creator of the podcast has spent time and money to produce that thing and to a level of accuracy that they are comfortable with, perhaps even hand coding or running it through secondary scripts to fix known issues in transcription engines.
Which is what I do. I always correct John C. Dvorak, which shows up as Jen C. Dvorak.
Exactly. So you have gone to the trouble and the time and the expense to create a transcript and put it in your feed to tell the whole world, this is the textual representation of transcripts and subtitles that I want my listeners to see. And Amazon and the other automatic transcription engines apps have said, we don't care. We don't care what you as the creator want. We're going to do what we want. And that is not honoring or respecting the creator in any way. It's only thinking for yourself. And there's really no difference between doing that and sucking in the audio itself, the audio file itself, and just sticking a bunch of ads in there.
Mm-hmm.
Why not? I mean, this is content. You're linking to a transcript file, an external transcript file, and you're linking to an external audio file. The transcript is what the creator produced. The audio file is also what the creator produced. If you molest either one of those, you're an evil person. You are a person that does not, or an entity, a corporate entity that does not care about creators at all. You only care about building your own kingdom.
Shocking, shocking.
Evil. I'm stunned. Lunacy.
Yes. Shocking, 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 I tell you.
I know, I feel evil, but I can't help it.
Amazon employee. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's evil.
I'll tell you the other thing that bothered me. Stop me when you need
to. No, keep going. You're on your there's the bloodstream. Go.
I've got another 4 hours of Sudafed left, so I've got to get this out. The other thing that bothers me was for a different reason, was Acast deciding to auto submit to Podchaser. Now, I like the guys from Podchaser. Got a good relationship with them. They worked with us to develop the person tag and the open taxonomy group. This is not about them, but their system is a closed system. It's not open.
Mm-hmm.
They're a VC funded company, and which is fine. I mean, that's fine. But what I don't understand is Acast does not. They've chosen to auto submit to Podchaser.
Mm-hmm.
Why not us?
Well, I would say right off the bat, you have no idea what the agreement is on the back end.
true.
So there could be something there. There could be a financial relationship, a equity financial relationship. It could be a relationship between venture capitalists or other investors. There's a whole bunch of reasons. And it's just annoying. It just slows us down a little bit. No one gives a shit. The people have found their apps. Our job is to get better apps in their hands.
See, and that you're right. That's why it bothered me, is because our job is to get, you know, our job is to take in all the feed data that we can find on in the universe, parse it, and then give it back to everybody for free. I mean, that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
Our systems ingest podcast data from everywhere, and then normalize it, and then give it back for free. You can go and download those 4.3 million feeds in our database. You can go and you can download them right now in a SQLite database format for free off our website, and it updates every week. That is
also unbeatable, Dave. It's unbeatable. As long as we keep doing things like that, there is no inherent value to having a closed system, because you can get everything you want on the outside. And that's our power. That is our power, is the openness, the willingness to share everything. And that's why Linux is beating all operating systems. You know, it's a long journey. And this one will be much shorter than most think, just because of the tools and everything and the accelerated pace at which we're developing and living compared to 17, 18 years ago. But that's going to win. It always does. I mean, it always does. And we got long breath. Well, as long as you give me the passwords, we got long breath, because, you know, who knows what's going to happen to you. And even better, our partners, let's just use venture capital speak, our partners love what we do, and we love our partners. They love us so much, they fund it. They fund it.
Boost!
They fund it through boosts. They fund it through value for value through PayPal, and time and talent and treasure. It's unbeatable. It's unbeatable. I've been in business long enough.
I have no problem with people making money. That's really not the issue. At
no.
VC, I have no.
No, I want everyone to make money, of course.
Yes. Yeah, not an issue. My real gripe here is just that there's these connections going on. You know, the latest example is Acast and Podchaser. There's all these connections happening between proprietary systems, which are, take again, Podping. One of the beautiful side effects of Podping is that when you send a ping into the system,
you auto register if it's not.
When other people are watching the blockchain, they see a feed URL and they realize that's a feed URL they don't have. They can ingest it.
Mm-hmm.
It's new. And so going back to this Acast Podchaser linkage here, instead of making a proprietary call
between
two APIs, publish it to Podping, and then we all get it at the same time, and it takes 30 seconds. This is why I brought up rule number one: interop is all that matters. Because when you focus your system on interoperability, everybody wins by default. You don't have to think about everybody winning; they just do.
What's all the disappointing part is the jacked up jittiness and excitement of people whenever some big company does anything with the name podcasting attached to it. You guys are like fucking Lucy with the football. Stop. They're just going to pull it away from you. They'll close it down. They'll do something else. It's not worth it. And they crave the attention of one class of people, and it's not users. They want the developers. They want the developers to use their stuff. They want the developers to use their SDKs and their APKs and their SDK, whatever, PKs, PPKs. That's what they want. That's what they want. They want the developers to come in. And I only have to remind everybody of Twitter. Holy shit. Developers around the world built Twitter. They built Twitter. They built the experiences. They built the excitement. Yeah. They created the lingo. They created the hashtags. All of this stuff was built by mainly developers or developer allies. Developer allies.
And then they kicked them to the curb.
And then they kicked them out. No. You don't know what the experience is. So stop with this Lucy and the football shit. And if you don't know what that is, go look at Peanuts, the cartoon. Charlie Brown. That's it. It's so dumb. Well, at least it gave us, 15 minutes of talk here. That's great. That's a lot more than they deserved, the way I figure it.
Well, the other part of this is, you know, this is the other thing I want to bring out of the rules for standard makers is software matters more than formats. And that has to do with one of the reasons why I've sort of refocused over the last few weeks into building software and haven't been as focused on the namespace. The namespace, I'll be going back to that soon, but you need software. You need software to make the standards and the specs make sense. And so there are some holes here. Podping is a great standard, but it's useless as a standard without software to make it useful.
Yes, and tag proposals are great, but if you don't have an implementation, you're just a proposal sitting there forever.
That's right. That's right. And that's what's so beautiful about what is going, you know, is always going on 24 hours a day on podcastindex.social is that people are building software and ensuring not only that they meet a spec, but that they are creating specs as they go along. They see things that are needed, and then these developers, they create a spec based on the thing that they're doing, and then we all benefit. Again, we all benefit.
Yeah, so
that's the way it works.
And my gratitude towards Stephen B. for the CurioCaster RSS Jenny, which, so here's a perfect example. You know, he built that so that everybody could benefit from a consistent feed, the Podcasting 2.0 feed, that has as many tags in there as we can muster.
Totally.
By the way, we don't have there's a couple missing, but still, it's already so far. We even have the social tag in there, which no one seems to understand how it works, but it's in there. And
we're getting there.
And we're going to keep, well, no, of course, but this is the beauty of it. You know, everybody puts in their little piece. Now I know that Ryan, I believe, he showed up on Podcast Index Social with an idea of, well, maybe I could do a transcript service. Would there be any? Would anybody be interested in that? I'm like, yeah, of course. I'm paying some company. I'll pay anybody. And if you want to do it in a value block or some other value based transfer, we can do that. You know, or if you need a minimum, and you know, that's fantastic. We get guys showing up who want to do services like that. That's very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. There's your software that's creating this creating the standard rather than the other way around.
Yes,
because you have, you have people that we don't fully understand or did not fully understand at the beginning how the cross app comments was going to play out. But as people have begun to develop software they're trying to develop software against it, against this spec that we think will work.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't know 100% if it'll work until you get the software written that's going to utilize it. Then you find out where your holes are and where your problems are going to be.
And not just that, it's also how the podcasters or the listeners, or let's just call them the users, how they will use it. You can be very surprised.
Yes.
It doesn't always get used the way intended. In fact, most times it probably doesn't get used the way it was intended. Not entirely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to find out over the next, you know, two, 3 months, probably what the best way, what the final spec for a comments social tag is going to look like.
Right.
And we're going to find that out by software running and doing things. And then when we're finished, we'll have a spec that's proven to work. We'll know it works. And then we can put that in the namespace. And then everybody immediately on day one can begin to code against it and know for a fact that it's going to be something doable and usable.
And the minute we do that, both the Google and Amazon player will have their own little comment widget they're going to put in their app. And they're going to look at this cool stuff we got. You can now comment on podcast.
Yeah, yeah. That's
you. So we might as well just say it now because you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And
I like your take. Screw those guys. We don't need them.
they're not going to win. It's not the behavior. Look, I am not good at a lot of things. I do know how to pick the hits. And whether it's music, news stories, technology, apps, I'm usually pretty, I may get it wrong, of course, but I'm usually pretty spot on. I can feel it. And that's based on my feel of an audience, what the audience wants. And I feel the podcast listening audience. You know, I've been around it for a while.
Picking the hits.
And apps are super personal, man. Super, super, super personal. And it doesn't necessarily come down to things we're developing. We lose people using the new podcast apps over things like silence skipping, audio boost, a perception like this app just sounds shittier than the other one, which I think is totally not true. But if you're used to Overcast or some other apps that have built-in sound processing, which sadly is necessary because not everyone delivers consistent levels and loudness and et cetera. You know, that's often where we're losing it on. And that's very, very personal stuff. And for a lot of people, it's a combination. You have to have a bunch of different things.
Yeah, I can tell you when comments come in, when cross-app comments begin to percolate through podcasting, that's going to be, I don't really know what the words to describe it are, but it's going to be a huge deal.
I think so too.
People may not understand, younger people may not understand now that they live in a world, in a web world where comments have been disabled on most websites. But back in the day, every website had comments, and these tribes and these groups formed around the comment sections of certain sites. And like, you could go to scripting.com, read Dave Weiner's blog, and he would always have a comment thread attached to the bottom of it. And you had the same people commenting and developing rivalries and camaraderies around his content. And you're going to see the same thing, you know, and the same thing happened with news sites like our local news website is AL.com. They had comments forever. And you had a tribal type situation there where the same people were showing up and making comments on the news stories. And sometimes you got really good information from those news stories. A news story would be posted, and then somebody would pop in onto a comment and say, you know, hey, I work for this company, and that's not true. Here's the details of what really went down.
Yes.
You're going to see the same thing and it'd pop up around podcast comments. You're going to see tribal, sort of camaraderie come together around certain podcasts in the comments section. It's going to be a big deal. It really is.
I completely agree. I'm super stoked. I'm stoked, bro. I'm totally stoked about it. I think
what our go ahead.
Go, please.
No, I was just gonna say. I wonder what our guests might think about that.
Well, I was actually gonna lead into them in about 37 seconds.
Okay.
Do you think, just a question, a point of personal privilege for the board meeting? Thank you. Do you believe that we will have, because I've, you know, obviously you've been testing out the live stuff, the live, that would be kind of live chat / Boostergram. Do you think we'll have that in the next few weeks?
I think so. Mm-hmm. If I can get, so.
Cause, well, let me run down the thing, because I think they're all related. You're working on, in essence, Boostergrams, I think, kind of as a rolling theme. Part of it is a live chat where the Boostergrams show up. Part of it is an Umbral app, which I'm very excited about. And maybe something else that I'm not aware of, but it all kind of revolves, I think, around Boostergrams.
Yes. So what I'm working on currently is there's a couple projects. One of them, the MK Ultra project, is the one that is for live, and that's the, an app that you could run. An app you can run that will bring in a comment that will let you do live chat with a feed, with a live audio feed and Boostergrams all in one page, in a single page app that you can just fire up and attach to your live item in your feed, or, you know, tweet it out or whatever. And it's an ephemeral chat room where people can live, but it's super chat mm-hmm. is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And this could also be an Umbral app very easily. The other thing that I just started working on a few days ago, which I'm kind of focused on mostly right at the moment, is the Boostergram app, the Boostergram Umbral app. And it'll be usable as a non-Umbral app as well, but it is going to share a lot of the code with MKUltra, and it would. So I'm just pulled over the front end and some other things, and I found a really good Rust Lightning LND interface library.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fleshed out. It doesn't have all the gRPC calls in it, but I've communicated with those guys, and I'm going to put those calls in that we need and then submit back to their project.
I've been afraid to ask this question, but I need to. Could you tell me in a paragraph the advantages of Rust, which I know has been a big topic of discussion? You're learning it. It seems like you're really interested in using it. What is it exactly that it has that makes people all jacked about it?
It's what Podping is built. The front end for Podping is built on. And it is the main benefit to Rust as a compiled language, is that you get speed.
Oh, it's not interpreted. It's not a scripting language.
It's not a scripting language. You get, it's a full binary. Mm-hmm. So you get a compile, you get the speed of a binary.
I identify as full binary.
Well, you'll like,
I'll Rust feel then. At home. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. But specifically the Rust benefits are memory safety. So when you, things like buffer overflows are not possible, within Rust, generated binaries because the compiler itself enforces type safety and memory protection. So you can't declare a variable, pass that variable by reference to another function, and then have that function, release that memory without knowing it, and then come back from that call and use it again. So those types of memory protection issues are all flagged and rejected at compile time. So you get tons of errors
when you're compiling code. Right, so you deal with all the crap up front. I got it.
Up front.
And who created this language? What's the origin?
Mozilla.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So if it ever, the idea with Rust is if it actually compiles, you're good. You're fine. Like isn't that
the way it used to be? It compiles. It's good.
Yeah. 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 And that did not work out so well in reality. But, the thing, yeah.
Now a question about code names and acronyms, just so I can get it all straight. MK Ultra, I think, is a cool name. I don't know who came up with it because of course we know what MK Ultra really is, but I like how it pertains to actually mind controlling people into sending other people money. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Then we have what I just got used to POC, meaning people of color. Now it's proof of concept. And then I'm not a basketball guy, but then I see the most valuable player everywhere and I had to think about it and look it up. Minimum viable product. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Got it. I like what James put together as a minimum viable product. Is that all possible, including the quote fancy charts and graphs?
Yeah, that's totally possible. The initial app will just be it's just going to be a web page with boostergrams listed as they come in. They'll show up on that page. It's going to be like, do you have your Umbral up yet?
No, because I couldn't get it to run. I couldn't get it to install, and I just ordered the box, but it's not here. It'll take another month, I'm sure.
It's not there yet. Okay.
No, it's not here yet.
Yeah, you launch apps from the Umbral.
I've seen it, obviously. I've seen the interface and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you launch ThunderHub or whatever, and all it's doing is just connecting to a web server in a Docker image on a certain port. And so it's connecting back to localhost on that port.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the same way. You'll click on the Boostergram app in the Umbral dashboard. It'll launch a new tab in your browser.
Funny enough, it's pretty much what Dave Weiner pioneered with Radio Userland when you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
That was the vision, was fractional horsepower. And by the way, I still love that vision, where everybody would have their own little server on their computer, their desktop, or maybe running at home on a dedicated box. And this would be, you know, would be fractional. So you could have little bits of pieces because you're not going to get slash dotted, if we could still use that term. Yeah. And you had a quick way to create interfaces that made sense, and you could even adjust yourself as a home user.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a great system. Yeah. And it'll be very, the way it's structured is a back end with, it's doing the polling to retrieve the boostergrams from LND sort of all the time into a SQLite database. And then, there's a front end piece. And what I'm working on right now is trying to get the threading correct because MKUltra uses multiple processes, but on the boostergram app it's cleaner if it's one process, because Docker images like to be a single process scope. So what I'm trying to do is take the multiple processes and put them in multiple threads, so that you have a thread running and pulling boostergrams all the time into a database. And then you have a web server front end, which is the main thread, which is serving client requests from the Umbral user in the browser. And so that you're just like, whenever somebody refreshes a page, it's just picking up the latest boostergrams and giving them to you. So that's what I'm trying to sort of re-engineer mm-hmm. that right now. But the back end, it's all working. It's pulling. Yeah, it's pulling boostergrams, storing them in the database. Now it's all front end work from here on out. And then the process of doing the Umbral app creation.
Well, with all this excitement, often we go too far. I think I saved Stephen B. I think I saved him because he was talking about, hey, you know what? Why don't I just set up some hosting for people to get them started? I'm like, stop, put the brakes on. This is not what you want. Yeah, but it's just connecting this to that. No. This is, oh my God. And so this is how I transition to our guests, who can tell us why that may not be a good idea, only based upon experience of what it actually takes to have people hosting files with you. We have two gentlemen on from an outfit called CastOS. That's how I pronounce it. I may be wrong.
Castos.
Is it Castos? I like CastOS, but okay, Castos. Now we were introduced to the company through the director of podcast success when half of our duo here, actually a couple months ago, it was almost a year ago, I think a long time ago, popped up with a whole video about value for value in podcasting 2.0. So we're very proud to have here the founder and CEO of Castos, Craig Hewitt, and director of podcast success, Matt Medeiros. Gentlemen.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
So I apologize, Castos?
It is Castos.
All right. You got to tell us about the name right off the bat. Where'd it come
from? CastOS is a good name, though. I mean, like, that's operating system.
Well, I like CastOS because that's how it felt to me. It's like, oh, this is an operating system for podcasting.
How did the name come about? Gosh, I wish we had whimsical moment where it just came to me in the night, but, you know, really just like wanted a memorable name that wasn't a compilation of a couple of random nouns together, including pod or cast. And just came up with this, and yeah, I think it fits pretty good, and it's a bit whimsical.
Yeah, but and the domain name was available.
And it was available, and it wasn't super.
that's always like, is the domain available? We got to get it. So tell us about the company, Craig. How long ago did you start it, and why?
Yeah, so the why is kind of similar to why y'all started this project, I think, is we saw kind of a gap in the market and a place where folks needed things that other providers weren't delivering on, and thought that we could do a little bit better than some of the entrenched players.
What were the main things you saw that were not being done right?
Yeah, I mean, at the beginning, it was a lot of, frankly, kind of design and user experience level product things from some of the kind of more established players that, you know, they at the time didn't seem to care so much about what their product looked like and how it's represented on customers' podcast websites and things like that. And from the very beginning, that was a big part of what we wanted to do better. But interestingly, we got the start for the company by acquiring a WordPress plugin. And so kind of your comments and discussion about open source so far really ring true to us. I mean, we got our starts in WordPress, obviously an open source project, and still maintain it. And it's a huge part of what we do. And kind of from there, the hosting arm of the business kind of grew out, but it kind of got its start by us acquiring the Seriously Simple podcasting plugin and building the hosting platform to integrate with it. And for a long time, you could only use Castos with WordPress. There wasn't a concept of it as like an independent standalone platform for about the first 8 or 9 months.
Do you still have an API that makes that basic connection possible between external generator?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that when I talked to Matt before, we were talking about how I feel like one thing that happens with Castos is you guys get a short shrift when it comes to the amount of podcasts that you actually host. You actually host, I mean, tens of thousands of podcasts, but since they're all primarily distributed, it's sort of a similar problem to Blueberry, but I think y'all's is even more so, since it's distributed across, you know, all those independent WordPress sites. It makes it look like you're not a big host when you actually are very, very large.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't know that to date we found a technical way to kind of represent that these WordPress-based feeds are powered, you know, by Seriously Simple Podcasting, or files are hosted by Castos. Not at the level that kind of James, you know, compiles the data at. You know, if you look at the source code and the XML, it's in there, but not at the kind of domain level.
How much does that matter, being on a list like that? You know, is that one of the metrics that you use, you know, comparatively? Oh, these guys have that. We have this number of podcasters. I'm sure clients coming and going is an important metric, but how much does it matter where you are on perceived charts?
It doesn't matter at all.
It means a lot to me.
Well, and so that's my next question, Matt. Thanks. So you, director of podcast success, is what I guess we would call podcaster relations. I like your title a lot better. What is the reason people come to Castos and stay there?
Yeah, you know, so you asked about the number. First, I have to say, like, being here in the show is so surreal, because usually I'm consuming this podcast at the end of my Friday, and I have like moments to break and be like, no, Adam, that's not going to work that way.
Or, feel free, feel free.
No, you're soaking in it, man.
Now I'm in it. I'm like, oh my God, all these neurons are firing. But you know, a lot of folks coming to us, they're brand new podcasters. Like, folks are struggling plugging in a USB microphone, right? And there's challenges like that. And then we get into the throes of editing and content and sustainability of a podcast. And, you know, I hope that folks are sticking around with Castos because they love our support and we're helping them every single step of the way. And then, of course, our feature set and, you know, leading into a lot of the stuff we're doing with podcasting 2.0, you know, hopefully folks are starting to enjoy some of that stuff as well. But WordPress, huge background, in where we come from, you know, the open source project of WordPress is massive. We have so many.
Yeah, you host a WordPress podcast, right?
Yeah, I host two podcasts about WordPress. I've been doing that for like nearly a decade. That's actually how I found Craig. It's how I found the software. So super passionate about that. But, you know, people who run WordPress sites, I know it can be tricky. It can be cumbersome, to put it politely, but folks just want to own their content. And that's when we say you want to own your podcast, you want to own your feed. We hang our hat, for better or worse, on WordPress because it's a massive publishing, open source publishing platform.
We've had a lot of podcast hosting company people on in the boardroom. And so I've learned a lot more about it. And this is one of the things I was telling Steve, and I said, yeah, man, it's real simple to host MP3 files. But when someone has a problem or when they don't understand something, that's when you're going to die. And so, can you give me an indication? Where do you spend the most of your time? Is it on newer users onboarding? Is it on the expert users? You know, who are the people you never have to worry about? And how big is your team?
So yeah, Matt, I'll let you talk about kind of where you and our support team spend a lot of your time in terms of like the profile of customers. But yeah, we're 15 full-time people, fully distributed in four continents.
Wow, that's a big team.
You have an HR department.
No, yeah, you're talking to it.
Yeah,
you're talking
to you it. Have one. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, I spend a lot of my time just with, you know, podcast education. Again, starting from the beginning of literally how to plug in a microphone, how to pick a microphone, that kind of thing. We do 2 weekly open office calls where our customers can just join and just ask us anything. We spend an hour talking to them about setting stuff up. And then, as you know, just cranking out as much content as I can, educational and training content through YouTube and through the 2 podcasts that we do. And this is trying to keep everybody, you know, leveled up. And, you know, when you asked the question before, like, does it matter that you're on those charts? I mean, for me, it does, because it's just awareness, right? It's so many people just always recommending the big guys because it's a muscle memory thing to do. And, yeah, you know, I come shouldering through on Twitter and I'm just like, hey,
sure,
don't forget about us. We're here too.
Here's a question you don't have to answer if you're not comfortable. If people leave, do they give you a reason? And what are the reasons? If they go to another host, I mean.
Yeah, I mean, most people leave because they just can't keep up with podcasting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They just
fall off.
Pod fade.
Yeah, and yeah, it's funny, like some of the episodes listening to you before in the past is just getting the right customer in and pushing them to the value for value model, Satoshis, Umbral servers, all of this stuff. So many people who are just like, how do I get the MP3 uploaded first?
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course. You know? Of course.
Yeah. And we're like, really like try to make sure that they're comfortable in getting it going. But I don't know off the top of my head why people might switch to another host. If I would have stick my finger in the wind, it's the hot, you know, the hotness of dynamic ad insertions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like what everyone's like clamoring over these.
Yeah,
days,
that would be my next question. Do you offer advertising services to your podcasters?
We don't, and I don't know if I want to go on the record saying we never will, but it is definitely not in the roadmap. Just because we feel, well, one, I just don't like it, right? And so I'm the CEO, I get to say I don't like it, so we're not going to do it. Whether that's right or wrong, but also we feel that our customers and creators' ability to control their content and how their brand is represented to their audience is maybe the most important thing we do. Right. And to me, advertising introduces a huge opportunity to screw that up for creators. If they don't manage who's advertising on their show and what that represents to their listeners and the congruency between that and their message and their brand, they're going to lose trust of their listeners. And especially dynamic ad insertion gives that risk. And so we think that there's a lot more power that we can give to creators by giving them a platform that they own and control, to sell content directly to subscribers.
Right.
And so it comes to people making money from their podcast. We're going, hey, private podcasting, right, not through Apple or Spotify, but hey, you own it. It's on your WordPress site, or it's through one of our integrations. You own the feed. We don't take any cut out of this, right? It's just something that you own entirely. And a lot of times we find that the folks that are the most successful with this already have something else going on. Mm-hmm. You know, they have a big membership site, they have a course, they have a big email list. They want to reach that audience through podcasting in a unique and special way, not like conventional, you know, open public podcasting. And so that's the reason that we're not doing ads. And I can look even through next year, through 2022, we're not going to do it then.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. There's, you know, it's funny how, you know, you say that, you know, ad insertion is the new hotness, and you're totally right. But then it's funny how many hosts or hosting companies, successful ones, have just not embraced that at all. And it doesn't seem to be hurting their business one bit. Oh, and I've heard, you know, Todd Cochran has said multiple times on his podcast that they routinely see podcasters leave their platform, go to a platform that offers DAI. And then after a few months, they come back and they're like, you know, I didn't make that much money. It's really disruptive. My listeners hated it, and I'm just coming back. So I don't think the promise of DAI outside of a specific content demographic, I don't see it being a big power player within, within the industry.
And I'm presuming that people, they're not going for the hot DAI. They're going for, oh, I can make money over there. Because I don't think they immediately, they just think, oh, I can make money and it's all automatic. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that's,
and there's, then Pringles there's shows up on your podcast. And you're like, what the hell is Pringles advertising on my show for?
Yes. So what can we do to make value for value the hot thing that brings people to Castos?
You want me to go first, Craig?
Yeah, go for it. Yep. I have my thoughts, but I'll let you go first.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think first and foremost, the apps, this is my own opinion.
You are entitled to your opinion, right, man.
It's the boardroom, brother. It's protected speech in here.
This is
it's a safe space.
The new podcast apps.com, they're doing fantastic. The apps do have to get smoother. They got to get a little bit sexier. They got to get a little bit easier to use. And I think once we start getting over that hump, you'll be able to transition a lot more people who are stuck on Overcast or Pocket Cast than your default apps, right? That's from my thing. So
sure,
I'm a power, like we're all a power user. So we all like collect a couple of I have, I don't know, three or four new podcast apps on my phone. Mm-hmm. And I'm always dipping into them to see like what's happening, what's going on. But I still default to Pocket Cast. One, out of habit, but two, just because like the usability of it. So if we can, I think when apps can just improve their usability and their
Can you define that usability?
I think a lot of the things like the same issue you had with Fountain. If I were to say that what's my favorite new podcast app, it would be Fountain. And I've reached out to forgetting the name of
Oscar.
I reached out to him on Twitter once, one, because I had an issue signing up, but then two, I had the same issue, I think, that you ran into, Adam, with the transcripts. Mm-hmm. I was trying to do a boostergram, and I'm like, where's the transcript? And it said loading, and I'm waiting, and I'm like, why? What's going on? Yeah. And I just kept asking him, and I was asking, was this thing crashing? Is it not working? So things like that, and, you know, putting shows into playlists and snappiness of an app, I think really going to matter to not get a new user frustrated. Who's already just coming online to podcasting and they're like, I just want something fast and easy to use. And then I'll become better at it later on.
So I didn't hear you mention any of the features. So none of the features entice people enough to try out the app. There's not a moment where they think, oh, this is cool because there's something better here, something different.
Oh no. I mean, in terms of the apps, I think the Boostergram functionality. I use let me just pull it up in front of me. The one that only loads on the web right now, which Adam, I think you use.
CurioCaster. Yeah.
CurioCaster. Yeah. Like that's, you know, the chapters, everything in those apps are all very attractive, for me to use and try out this stuff. But I think for the average user, things have to just get a little bit more polished.
Yeah. I think I hear what you're saying, because what you don't want is just a whole bunch of apps that feel sort of like beta software. You want them to have a certain level of polish to them.
So interesting. I don't feel like any of this stuff is beta. Doesn't feel like that at all to me. I mean, I'm also not really an app user. I use browser on my phone, so I'm delighted with PodFriend and CurioCaster, and I don't use the Twitter app, you know, all that stuff. So probably poor.
As developers, y'all would probably know that, y'all would resonate with this. It's not that it's beta software. It's that there's a certain maturity level that you have to reach with any package, with any piece of software, that you have to learn all the stuff that is wrong, that breaks. And with a podcast app is a complex piece of software, just like a podcast hosting platform is. And so for those first, you know, a few months, a year, 2 years, however long that's going to take, you have to learn all the things that maybe this other podcast app or platform already learned, you know, five years ago. You got to go through that same process. And it's not that it's necessarily shoddy software. It just hasn't reached the maturity level of, you know, of polish that something that has an established, pedigree has.
Yeah.
I think something that y'all mentioned earlier about like developers making Twitter the platform it is. Mm-hmm. And I think the same thing needs to happen. And like, if the things that we're talking about are successful, it will be because podcasters adopt and support them and spread that word to other people that,
yeah, hallelujah,
that are in the space. Because I mean, it is similarly just a very, I don't know, referral based kind of communication within the podcasting space, right? It's like you use an app because someone else mentioned it, and yep, people choose Castos or yep, Libsyn or whatever based on, you know, their friend's experience.
Yep.
And for things like value for value, it's going to be like, I hate to use the term case study, but like a friend that had success with it, and then they tell their podcasting buddy, and it catches on. I mean, just from a right, kind of high meta level.
Yeah. So the beauty is, with value for value streaming payments, we satisfy both people. We satisfy the podcasters who are looking for something sexy, maybe an easy way to get some money in without having to think about it. In this case, completely non-disruptive. And that also the motivation there for someone to use a new podcast app or one that at least has the value for value built in. You know, so the common denominator there is value for value. Because people will try any app that does it, and they'll wind up with one that they'll just use, and they might only use it for that show, which, as I said at the beginning of this episode, is not what you want. Mm-hmm. But at least that way we can start. And I would also encourage the app developers to make it really clear on your app somewhere that you take feedback. You know, you'd be surprised how often, you know. And I actually expect Martin to understand exactly what I'm talking about, because I get notices from people regularly like, well, I notified the developer that, you know, it's like, wow, what a distance there is between, you know, I talked to Martin, or I posted something over here and Martin talked back to me. And, you know, it seems like we've all gotten into this, here's the form you must fill out for some feedback for the developer. You know, it's as a user, it's like, fuck that. I don't feel like doing that. One star. That's our feedback.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's what happens in the WordPress space.
Yeah, sure.
Believe it, is that that's what happens to our WordPress plugin all the time. They don't know how to record an episode, and they say, well, your plugin sucks.
One star.
Right.
Yep. What I would like to see in this, to kind of go down this road and see what y'all think about this. This kind of ties in back into attribution of a hosting platform like Castos. You know, me and Matt and is it Alec? Is that who we talked to as well? Yeah. Okay. So me and Matt and Alec, you know, had a chat a few weeks ago, and we were talking about, you know, one thing I brought up is I wanted to get this attribution thing right. And I think Alec was going to work on trying to get like a generator tag into the feeds that are produced by the WordPress plugin that y'all have, so that we could key on that and give a more accurate number. One thing that I think would be really cool is to have podcast apps surface who the host is a little bit more, who the hosting company is, like somewhere in the UI or somehow show, you know, well, this feed, this podcast is being hosted by Castos or RSS.com or Buzzsprout or whoever. Like, I think there's room to put that type of thing into an app, because it, for a couple of reasons, it gives people exposure to a little bit of the back end of how podcasting operates. This sort of Borg hive that podcasting is. And it also lets people see, if they want to start a podcast, it gives them names that they can associate with. It's sort of like brand awareness for all these different hosting options that they have. And then and that's important, because you have a lot of, you know, the apps, the podcasting apps, this is all, we all depend on each other. The podcast apps depend on the hosts, depend on the creators, who depend on the host, who depend on the apps. I mean, we're all interdependent here. And so the apps sort of will benefit from promoting the hosting companies. Is this crazy talk? I mean,
no, I think especially if you can align the support of like the new namespace tags from podcast hosting companies in the mobile apps to say to listeners, hey, you're, you know, this show is hosted by Castos. It supports this tag, this tag, this tag. So it's a richer experience, right? I mean, that's a lot of what you're going for. It's like a richer listening experience and interaction with the host in a way through things like transcripts. And I think that surfacing that would show the listener, hey, you know, this show is hosted by a platform that supports a lot of this to give you the best kind of podcasting experience possible. So to me, that's the biggest upside of that. Yeah.
I see that. So you just mentioned transcripts. Are you putting these into a namespace tag, the transcripts?
Yeah, it's definitely coming. It's a bigger project than just that on our end, which is why we didn't release it with the other namespaces that we began supporting about a month ago. But it's definitely on the radar. Yeah.
So tell me about the integrations. How does that work, and how do I get a value for value streaming integration in here?
I think the last part is a bigger question, but our integration so far kind of fall in two categories. One is to repurpose audio content into different formats. So we have an automated transcription service that transcribes audio into text. We have a YouTube republishing, takes the audio, reformats, edits as video, and publishes to YouTube.
Got it.
So that's kind of one category. And then we have an open API that anybody can use to build whatever kind of tools they want.
Oh,
and the
cool.
other one is ways to connect Castos and private podcasting to other tools you use. Like we launched an integration with ConvertKit last week, where say you have a tag in your ConvertKit, you know, mailing list that's applied, and that person gets added in Castos as a private subscriber to your private podcast.
That's
so those are kind of two buckets of integrations, and we're building a lot more of the second one over the next few months.
So I'm going to make it my mission. I have a dog now. You can hear. I'm going to make it my mission to see if I can get Stephen B to connect CurioCaster to your API and get you some new customers and get a front to back solution going, because he's going to be outputting all kinds of stuff, including chapter JSON files, etc.
Awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, so you that's know, something that's something that would work then, you know, like an a backend API that an app could hook into in order to publish.
Yeah. To create new content. Yeah. I don't know about like adding new tags and namespaces via the API. Like currently that doesn't exist, but as we support additional tags in the future, those would all be kind of, you know, aspects of like posting or updating a new episode. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's
non-developer
that's really
talk
cool.
here. Sorry, you're talking to two people that are not developers. So,
the interesting thing about hosts like this, where your customer base is distributed, they're not. It's not centralized hosting. Where do you put the MP3s? Where do you put these assets? Are those hosted on the individual WordPress user sites, or are they hosted with you guys?
Yeah, they're hosted with us. Yeah. No, so there's two ways you could do it, right? If you use the WordPress plugin, if you use Serious System of Podcasting, you can self-host your files. And then everything lays on your WordPress site in that server. Or to offload that resource utilization from your WordPress server, if you're on shared hosting or whatever, it's just not going to work if you have a successful podcast or you publish a lot. So you connect to Castos, and then when you go to publish a new episode from WordPress, the files are uploaded automatically to Castos, and then they're served from our infrastructure.
Yeah, I really like this. And the RSS feed is also uploaded from WordPress to the storage? Yeah. Okay. And the API allows for other files to be transferred, or could be adopted, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like images and things like that are uploaded.
So the final question is, and this would be more for Matt, so let's say, you know, all of a sudden we have CurioCaster and a couple other, well, let's just start with CurioCaster because I know that, that Steven's thinking about it. Connected, that's going to place burden on you because people are going to call and say, look, I got CurioCaster, but it's not working. So how does that, I'm looking at it from all the angles. I don't want to be pushing something that's going to swamp anybody, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's a realistic thing, right? So these features, we'd love to fire off features and integrations as fast as we can. But we, what we do internally is we document like what our project might be. We present it to the team. We write a blog post that's not published yet. And we just get all of our thoughts out.
Oh yeah. That won't work for me. No, I can't be a part of that process. No, fuck it. We're just going to do it. We'll show up. We'll let you know what's happening.
But we build all the training material around it, right? Hopefully before we launch, so that when that person knocks day one, we have some resource, some utilization that we can hand to them and say, look, here's how you do it. We've already documented it. I got a video on it. Or join us on Tuesday or Thursday where we have our open office hours and we'll walk
through. Right. Well, I'll tell you why I'm excited about this type of integration. I like integration as a term in general. Because in December, we're going to see musicians coming with albums, and they're going to want to also host. And I hope that there will be one or two app developers who will create a music version that kind of sits on top of this entire infrastructure we've already built. So you can, you know, have value for value for your music in the same back end, you know, but then essentially have an app that would say, oh, here's your music app, and it would upload the MP3s and the RSS feed into Castos. For the user, they would, or for the podcast, or for the musician, they wouldn't even really know. They don't have to understand that it's a podcast infrastructure. I just see this coming, right. So I'm trying to set us all up for it.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I mean, right now, app development, the new podcast app developers should be knocking on the doors of hosts like this, like us. I don't want to have them go to my competition, but knock on our door for sure. But like when I see my competition say things like, we're supporting, you know, transcripts in the namespace now, it's like, hey, that's great, but which apps are you telling your customers to use? Because what's the point?
Yes.
Right? You know?
Yes.
And that's what drives me nuts the most is like you can grandstand all day that, hey, you're supporting transcripts. But where do you have a relationship with a new podcast app developer?
Very good, Matt. Thank you.
You know, yes. Doing yes. these kinds of things. And that's why it's slow to roll out for us, because it's just a lot of stuff. And, you know, we're not a massive team. And I want to be able to coordinate this so that when we launch it, it's a little bit smoother for the customers.
Well, there seems to be just from, you know, the hosting companies that I've talked to over the, you know, over the months and years is that there seems to be a sort of two camps, and you either fall into one or the other, depending, based on how you look at features and rollouts. You have sort of one camp that says, well, we're not going to do anything unless we have our customers ask for it. And then you've got this other camp that says, we see these things as good ideas to push, you know, to push our product forward. We're going to go ahead and do them. We're going to implement them and roll them out. And then we're going to educate our customers of what the benefit of this thing we just gave them is. And I see y'all in the second camp. I'm not saying necessarily one's better than the other, but I will say that we're not going to do anything. We're not going to add any new features until our customers ask for it. That seems like a recipe for just stagnating.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, this is podcasting has always been a slow grower. Just it's slow. It just takes time. And I know we're all used to instant gratification and, oh my God, they're doing transcripts at Amazon. It doesn't matter. You know, we just need to stay the course. And I really appreciate this conversation because, and Matt, thank you for saying it. You know, there does need to be constant improvement, and you do need to be talking to your users who are using your app, and you do need to just keep iterating. And Dave, you're right. It just takes time before something's polished. I mean, Freedom Controller, working on it for 35 years. I mean, it's still not polished. I just found shortcuts, you know, that didn't know existed before. So, that's just what it is, you know, and it just takes time to build and iterate and polish and make better and more communicating. I totally agree. There's a lot of we should, this is, blah, blah. But you know what? Someone's got to reach out, talk to Matt, say, hey, you know, I have this app. This is, here's where I'm at. Let's open a channel of communication. Everybody knows everybody. I think almost everybody has an account on Podcast Index.
Yeah.
It's not social. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I look at the podcast host as like we're at the gates. Like podcasting is still growing super fast, as everyone on this call and listening probably knows. And sometimes we're like holding back the doors from the masses of people trying to come in, and we can't keep up sometimes with the new customers coming in to just train and onboard them. Mm-hmm. And you know, I put out that video about setting up the Sphinx chat app and all this stuff. Uh-huh. And I had people emailing me like, so when I signed up, where's my Lightning node? Like,
of course.
It's not there yet. Yeah. Like, you know, so it's a challenge sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what I want is for us to get on your roadmap, yeah. You know, and so for me personally, that means, how do we integrate something value for value that's easy for your customers just to tick? And it's like, oop, okay, I've got a wallet. Now I can receive. That's pretty much it. And I think Podcast Index may be able to deliver that with our LN Pay partnership. That's what, Dave, I'm just speaking out loud.
Yeah, I heard you.
you know, that seems like a really easy one to... Hey, is it done yet? That sounds like a really easy one to tackle, you know, or a good way for us to get on your roadmap so that we can add that in, because you're already doing all the tags at your own pace.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, to Dave's point of kind of two types of hosting providers, I would also kind of put it into there are hosting providers that are closed systems, and I'm not talking about the big S, but not their hosting provider, but I think our nature, right, coming from WordPress and integrating like literally right off the bat, is just a big part of what we're doing and how we see the value of a platform like ours working in conjunction with things that y'all are doing and other tools that podcasters are using. You know, we say like we want to be the center of the audio universe, right, of our customers' audio universe, because we know we can't do everything, right? So like, why not say, hey, we're going to integrate with the best in class of this and the best in class of that to give our customers and their listeners like the best overall experience and the choices to say, hey, I want to use this and I want to use this. I don't want to use that. So yeah, I mean, definitely on the radar and just in general, like we're big fans of integrating our way to delivering everything that our customers need. Because I don't think anybody can build best in class of everything.
I feel like there's this pressure that has happened with, you know, the players like Spotify and Apple and Amazon coming in. I mean, I feel like there's been this weird pressure where it's like other players in the industry feel like they have to go proprietary in order to compete.
Yeah.
Or they're going to get passed by. Yeah. And, you know, our ethos from the beginning is that's the complete opposite of what you should do. You don't get more proprietary. You get more open, because open, I mean, just like, you know, there's that old notion, or the famous quote from Steve Jobs where he said, you know, we need to get, as for Apple, we need to get over this idea that in order for Apple to win, Microsoft needs to lose. And that, I feel like that applies here as well. You know, in order for open to win doesn't mean that closed has to lose. Look at Linux and Windows. I mean, there's a closed architecture and an open architecture, and they both have immense success now. But the beauty of openness is that is like we talked about before, you get interop for free. It's built into the system. And so, you know, just by nature of Castos and Podcast Index speaking the same open standard language, we just get this interop. I mean, we didn't have to buy you.
Yeah. We certainly didn't have a meeting. Yes, exactly. Yeah.
You don't have to have webinars and meetings and everything. You just look at the file and do it.
And roadmaps.
Yeah, roadmaps.
Anyway. For sure, all of these companies, I can predict it for you right now, they all have to have a Bitcoin strategy. And now that the mayor-elect of New York has just said that he wants to have his first three paychecks paid in Bitcoin, I think it's time that everybody considers having a Bitcoin strategy. and that Bitcoin strategy can be to buy little bits of Bitcoin, or the strategy can be to do a little bit of effort, put in a little bit of effort, and have people send it to you. That's your Bitcoin strategy. If you're an app developer, there's your bit. Now you have a Bitcoin strategy. The big boys are doing it, and one of them's going to wake up, and they're going to, you know, and they're going to say, you know, this is a cool thing. We're going to do this, and we're going to take 20% of all of your Satoshis, and people will like it.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
If it's really easy, I think that's what Matt was getting at before. It has to be just literally a click of a button.
Sure.
Yeah.
And it can be literally a click of the button. It just has to be done. I mean, you know, anything can be done. I mean, I can see exactly how it would be done. Someone has to make it their business. We're going to try a part of it, which will probably be more open, but hopefully someone picks that up and says, I can probably make a service and business around this.
Yeah.
It's amazing to think that just now we're seeing, the mayor of Miami is now, I mean, he's taking his full paycheck in Bitcoin. It's like we're starting to see this stuff that would have been unthinkable or just, like, who would have? It's amazing that we're starting to see this type of thing from elected officials. I mean, this is kind of what you would have thought of as crazy people would do that. And then was it Aaron Rodgers? I saw he's taking part of his paycheck in Bitcoin. This is a thing. Like, this is becoming an actual thing that people are doing on a large scale. It's almost disorienting a little bit.
It's a human thing, right? Because I mean, electricity when it first came out, and people are like, I just want to use candles for the rest of my life. I don't want light bulbs, right? Or cars. I'm going to stick to horses, right? And everyone on the fringes was always like, that's a crazy idea. The web, right? When it first started. And we'll all probably be laughing about this in, 20 years when we're like, what we were doing back then. It's just the way it is now. Humans.
Well, we'll definitely be laughing because in 20 years, our 28 million Satoshis in the index is going to retire. Myself and my two partners, which leads me to perhaps a good moment to remind everybody about the value for value concept.
Here's your cue to boost. You know you want to.
Yeah, we know you've been boosting throughout the show already. And we also like to thank people who send in their fiat fun coupons. Through PayPal, which you can find at podcastindex.org at the bottom, the big red donate button. But we really love the boostergrams. We love the per minute Satoshis. Set that as high as you think it's worth. That's what it's all about. Value for value. Is this podcast valuable? The entire concept? You're the one that keeps it running. So put that down and put it in a number. Send it back to us. And Dave, you have your papers to rustle?
Yeah, you guys want to stick around for some boostergrams?
Yeah.
Sounds good. Yep.
Well, right off the bat, we've got, I had a note on here that says that we're in a PayPal recession, but then RSS.com ponied up with $800.57.
What?
Right before the show. And Ben at RSS.com, he says,
Wait. What was the number?
$800.57.
Jeez.
And he explains it. He says, squint hard enough and you might read 80057 as boost.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. Put it on the list.
Yes. This is a, and from hence on, it should be known as an RSS.com boost.
Sadly, the inability to find time to set up a node means that instead of sending 80,057 sats, we're sending the equivalent of 1,298,432 sats. James Cridlin, is there a boost? Think about it. Adam and Dave, thanks again for enhancing podcasting for everyone via the namespace improvements. We know it's only a matter of time before the functionality made possible by the new namespace tags disrupts the incumbents and improves podcasting for everyone, not just the early adopters and the visionaries. You guys are leading a lot of innovators, and Clayton Christensen's theory of the innovator's dilemma will hold true again. Go podcasting, your friends at RSS, Alberto, Ben, says, P.S. Adam, don't be a hill country snob and come by for a visit. I'll buy you lunch.
Go podcasting! Yeah, man, I'm coming down for sure. Yeah, I got to see Stephen B. He's in San Antonio. It's like all these people are not even that far away. That's so nice, man. Thank you so much. You guys are great. They've been they've been really supporting us these levels from day one.
You need to do the brisket tour, the Texas tour.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, we got two guys from Rhode Island here. Y'all are both into Rhode Island, right?
I'm in Mass, but...
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Where in Rhode Island?
Barrington.
Oh, my mom went to Barrington High.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Small world.
Yeah. My great-grandfather played for Pawtucket something or other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
So, but you're not in Rhode Island, but you're from there. Is that right, Matt?
No, I'm 15 minutes away from Barrington. I'm in Massachusetts, Dartmouth.
Oh, okay. I got you. See, I didn't even think, I thought Rhode Island was a myth. I didn't think it actually existed because I've literally never in my entire life met anybody from Rhode Island, but now there's one and one person that can vouch for him. So I think I'm stand corrected. Let's see. We got a boostergram from, who's it? From Cass Peeland. He says, says for 1,000 sats. He says, I pie hold the crap out of that. Ha ha ha. Boost. I don't know what he's talking about.
But, boost.
Okay. Okay. Whatever. Let's see. We got an anonymous boost. I'm sorry. It's not anonymous. Just no message from, John's BRT, 4,900 sats. Thank you, John. We got a 17. Ooh, this is from Brian of London, and he says, I'm going to add 1948 to the GitHub list. But he boosted 1746 sats, and he. All right,
Brian, man, he is the Dan Brown of podcasting 2.0. Always in riddles.
James Cridlin, 222 sats. He says, great to hear Benjamin. Thank you, James. Appreciate it.
It's also known as a row of ducks.
That's right. Brian of London again. He says, the same message. I guess he corrected it. 1948. And he says, boost.
Oh, to give you a Fauci here.
Boost.
Okay.
What are these other ones that I have here, Dave? You brought two boost jingles.
Oh, that might be left over from last week.
Boost. Yes.
Yeah.
Boost.
Yes, you're right. Okay, I remember him now. Oh, man, this dog is excited.
Oh, yeah. Peter the Slav says, he sent us 777 sats, and he says, it's a real tragedy that the Speaking of Bitcoin, formerly known as Let's Talk Bitcoin podcast, with Adam Levin, Andreas Antonopoulos, and Stephanie Murphy, and some other dude aren't on the Podcasting 2.0 tip yet. Get on it, noobs.
Yeah, you need to reach out to them. That's how it works. You've got to tell your podcasters what you want. They will listen.
Yeah, totally. It's a feedback loop. Oscar Mary sent us a row of ducks, 2,222 sats, and he says, Adam, couldn't agree more with you on transcripts. What we need is a new open standard to add the spec that includes the per-word timings. The challenge here is each commercial transcript service has a different output format. I will do some more research and try to propose an update to the spec. We'll get there. Thank you, Oscar. Now, guys, so when y'all are working on your I think you said you were working on transcript maybe for the future. Do you have an idea of how you're going to go about that? I mean, like, would you bake your own service or use some external transcription service?
Yeah, I think like at a high level. So we already have an external transcript service that we connect with. But I think the reason that it's taken us longer to do this is we want the ability for folks to be able to bring their own transcript and put it in the system and have it, you know, have that associated with a tag. Whereas now the only way we could do it is if you use our transcript service. And that's kind of back to the whole open nature of how we want to build this is say, hey, like, hey, if you used Otter or Rev or did it yourself or whatever, bring that, drop it in. And when you're creating your episode, and that's what the tag references instead of, hey, this is the, Casta supports the transcript tag only if you use our service that we, charge for. So we want to make it a little more open and inclusive, rather than just something that's part of our system.
That's something that non-developers routinely don't understand is that in a situation like this, when you're talking about having either or, building two pathways is always complex. just, you know, adding that one extra option. Whenever you change something from a feature to an option, where they can do it, you know, where you can say, okay, you can do it this way or this way. I mean, everything just gets exponentially harder. Yeah.
It takes longer. Then that on WordPress or in Castos, because not everybody creates their content in the same place. Yeah.
That too. Now you've got four pathways, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. We got a boostergram from, Beavenauer, 8008. Oh, it says it's a boob boost.
Yeah. Right. We don't have a jingle for that yet. Oh, damn it.
Nope.
Boost.
Thank you, Beavenauer. He says, Cass Peelan again. He's 2300 sats. He says, thanks for the show for now. 3300 sats a show. Okay. Right. I'm not understanding it, but. Thank you, Cass.
Dreb sent me a note, Dreb Scott, who does our chapters, and he said, oh my God, what was this boost? I mean, I got this huge, did someone send 330,000 Satoshis? I'm like, hold on a second, man. Show me some output. He said, that's millisats.
Millisatoshis.
Yeah. He said, oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. For those that don't know, millisatoshis they're not a thing on the Bitcoin blockchain, but they're an internal thing that you can do within Bitcoin. Like it's internal to the system, but I mean, the Satoshi is the smallest unit you can actually trade on the chain. James Cridlin, 222 again, he says, Adam is right about transcripts. Let's ask for per word transcripts. I also think transcripts are the easiest way to get the namespace into hosts and apps. I agree.
Yeah. And the transcripts are being used mainly by these companies for attribution, for, you know, for AI scanning, you know, ads insertions, where they work, you know, what relevance. I mean, they're completely mining. It's like having Amazon probe you anally.
Is that a service from AWS?
Yes, it is. Yes, it's the analog web services.
Nice.
Mm hmm. It's actually part of the advanced network analysis language I've been working on.
You're in rare form today, my friend.
I'm sorry. It's the dog. I finally got her calm here.
Yale sent us, Yale Ostrowski. I know this guy. We've known each other for a long time. Good guy. He's sent us 1500 sats and he says, oh, y'all much more in value for value, but here's my shot. Trying to make our radio show the first with podcasting 2.0. Has this been claimed yet? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
I think it has. His radio show is called Consumer Choice Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Prague sent us 1,000 sats and he says, despite you still ignoring the easiest way for decentralized cross-platform comments, here's a small donation. Go podcasting.
Oh, he doesn't give us
ignoring it.
He doesn't give us the clue. He didn't give us the answer. It's so simple. What do we have to do?
No, I don't think he did. And he must know it, and he's keeping it all to himself.
Okay.
I know. I'm an idiot. Bill, he's a Hive guy.
Oh,
that's okay. The simple.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with Hive guys, everything's, you know, the answer is, it doesn't matter what the question is, the answer is Hive.
The answer is Hive. Honey, what did you do with the lighter? Hive.
Hive. What do you want for lunch?
Hive.
Aristatica sent us 2,376 sats, and he says, boosting for Dreb. Oh, okay.
Very nice. That's a
proxy boost. Dreb got some sats from somebody who's not in here.
Excuse me.
Stephen B. from CurioCaster sent us 5,000 sats, and he says, can you guys tell the story of how you two were introduced, connected, and started working together? Maybe too long of a story for today. Let's do it next week.
Yeah, next week. I'll write it. I'm going to write this down that we talked about that. How we met. What was our meet-iversary?
Our meet-iversary. I do want to hear how you and Craig got together. Were you working on this, on the WordPress plugin before y'all had a working relationship together? Or how did that come about?
Matt, I'll let you tell your side of the story. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had my WordPress.
No pressure, Matt.
Yeah, I had my WordPress podcast and, you know, just talking to people who are building stuff with WordPress, and obviously came across Craig because I was podcasting. He started a podcast company, bought that plug or acquired that plugin. And then, I won't name which podcast host I was at prior to Craig.
No,
but, you know, as soon as, you know, I saw his software, it was way easier. So I was like, I'm just switching because, it's just so much easier.
Just then, wait until they get Libsyn 5 up.
Yeah. Yeah. they said 2 years ago. And we started working together about a year ago.
Oh, okay. That's, so yeah. So came on board recently. You were not like employee number three or something.
I'm not employee number three, but I'm ID number three in the database. Cause Craig reached out to me right when he started the hosted version.
Craig, can you corroborate this story as truthful?
That's mostly true. Yeah. But it goes back before true. Then. I mean, and it's just like everyone has their, like, because of podcasting, whatever. And I think that's like the case, right? Because of podcasting, I knew Matt, and because of, you know, my podcast, Matt knew me, and like we've been listening to each other's podcasts for years before we got a chance to work together, and it just accelerated the trust so much. Even ahead of him actually working here, as I reached out to him, I was like, "Hey, we're about to launch this thing. Can you kind of come in and beta test this?" And that's why he's ID number three in the database. He was one of our very first kind of beta testers and users. And I just think that it's just one more of the many examples of how, like, just putting this content out there, having it be open and available to everybody, just lets you get to know folks in a really cool way that can lead to so many different things. And in this case, yeah, Matt and I working together, and the decision to hire him was like really simple, just because I've, you know, been on his podcast. He's been on mine. I've listened to dozens of hours of him and vice versa. So it's just like that trust is already there.
That's interesting. It's always, but you develop a working relationship, and then it's like, hey, let's actually start working together. It makes a lot of sense.
So
Chimp98 gave us 1,337. Leet Boost, 1,337. And can I get a go podcasting? Thank you to everyone for all your awesome efforts.
Go podcasting!
Of course.
Aerostatica again gave us 2,376, and he says, "This is an Aerostatica personal standard boost, PSB." Okay, I like
all it. All right.
See, Anonymous Boost, 16,000 sats.
Whoa.
And this is through Breeze, and he just says, he or she says, "Emptying my wallet in gratitude. Trick or treat, gentlemen."
Thank you. Thank you. I like that.
Yeah.
But remember to fill it up. Fill it up again.
Yeah, you can fill it back up.
Yeah.
Chimp98 again. He has 1,226 sats, and he says, "This is for the charity fund."
Oh, okay. Yes. I was going to mention the Lightning Podcast Charity Fund. We still have them in our value block. Have not heard back from Oscar, but hopefully he's going to put that to good use.
Yeah, that's a good way for onboarding. Just give out some sats, you know. That's a tried and true old Bitcoin method of the faucet.
That's how it works.
Sir Pete gave us 5,000 sats, and he says, "Podcast and chilling."
Okay. Yes, Sir Pete.
Thank you, buddy. Anonymous, 1,111 sats through Breeze, and he just says, "Boost."
Yep, we got it for you.
Boost.
Relaxed. Let's see. Relaxed Male sent us 1,000 sats. He says, "Y'all are great. Thanks for everything y'all are doing. Go podcasting."
Boosted Grant.
Go podcasting!
Anonymous, this just says from Breeze, and it's 100 sats. Thank you, Breeze. I'm guessing the Breeze has become artificial intelligence and is now sending us sats. It's, and from Mere Mortals, Kyron, our buddy Kyron over there, sent us 234 sats, and he says, "Can't remember if I boosted or not. Have some sats, good sirs."
Thank you,
Kyron. I do that too. I'll forget if I boosted, I'll hear James read like three of my boosts on the show.
That's why I like having wallet history.
Oh yeah, a
couple of apps have that. That's pretty cool.
And that's our boostergram. So then our monthly donors: Droid Works LLC, $20. Scott Galbert, $12. Mark Graham, $1. Joseph Maraca, $5. David Metis from Fun Fact Friday podcast, $10. Cameron Rose, Cameron's been here with us for a long time, $25. And Jeremy New, $5. Thanks, guys. That's our group.
Yeah, thank you all very much. Keep it coming. Keep
a lot of
boostergrams. Yeah, the boostergrams is, and this is like a transition. And we're probably making less money on the inside, like incoming, I think.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely less.
Yeah, so but we're still okay. I've got to talk to Eric. Well, don't we have our call Monday? We got to see if we're not running out of money.
Yeah, we don't ever talk, and like hardly at all except signal chat. And so every now and then it's like, hey. Yeah, maybe we actually need to be a business once.
Yeah, we're supposed to have quarterly calls, which we're it's kind of the schedule. But I'm delighted. I'm delighted by the conversion to boostergrams. That's really good. Y'all just need to up the ante, or just boost more.
So y'all said that neither one of y'all were developers, but you run two WordPress podcasts, Matt. What? Mm.
What? Yeah,
how can you not be a developer?
Yeah. Well, you know, enough to be dangerous. Used to run a WordPress agency where we designed and developed sites, but it was just about the know-how of it, and then, you know, putting people in place to actually do the smart stuff. But I cover a lot of it from the business side with the WordPress, on the WordPress side, because it's you know, like podcasting, there's a bunch of businesses in there that people don't know about that are pretty big and making a nice chunk of change selling WordPress plugins and themes. So it's an interesting space, but one that doesn't get looked at other than WordPress.com, which is worth billions.
Yeah. Well, Craig, what is your development background? Did you come out of that same arena?
No. Yeah. My background is actually in sales. So come at it from an ops and sales and marketing perspective. And
sales in what field?
In a previous life, I was in medical device sales. So working for kind of big cardiac medical device company. And yeah, just totally kind of early midlife crisis, I guess. I was like, I can't do this anymore, like being away from my family and all. And just saw an opportunity.
Oh, and you have to take all,
and a really
you have to take all those hospital people out for dinner, and you got to... Oh man,
it's tough. Yeah, it's tough.
I've been watching Dope Sick. Have you heard about this series? Uh-huh. Dope Sick is on. Gosh, I don't know. I think it's on Hulu. And it's Michael Keaton produced it, and it's about the opioid, the entire scandal, I should say, starting with the Sackler family. But then it's, you know, it's heavily based upon how doctors were just, you know, honestly, kind of roped in. You know, it's like, hey, come to our retreat, and there's pretty girls there, and it's all animated, and like, hey, you can join our speakers bureau, and like, whoa.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah. But I mean, long hours, big stress away from my family. Now I have more stress, but with my family, which is
thank
awesome.
God. So thank God.
Really, really good trade off.
How many kids you have?
I have two.
Oh, God bless you.
Yeah.
And that's including Matt, or Matt, you have your own family.
Two and a half, I guess.
In another life, I was a car salesman. Actually, that's what I grew up in. My family owned a car dealership.
Cool.
I grew up in.
That's not just being a car salesman, man. That's an American empire right there.
Yeah,
car dealership. Love that.
Yep.
Yeah, my mom's brother. What was their name? They had a Chevrolet dealership in Rhode Island.
Oh, Heard?
No.
Paul Massey.
No, why can't I not remember her maiden name now? Hawks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hawks Chevrolet.
Yep. We were Chevrolet. Yeah, we were Ralph's Chevrolet. That was my grandfather. He started it back in the 80s.
Oh, man. I got to come to Rhode Island now and hang out. We got a party. We got a party now. We got to go down memory lane. Very cool.
Well, that's all I got. I got to get back to work. So,
How annoying.
Yeah, this was great. I've been hoping to have you guys on for a long time, just because I feel like there's so much centralized hosting out there that it's so rare to see somebody doing things in the way that y'all are doing it. I just think it's great. I mean, it's open source to like taken to the architectural level within the service. I love it. I think it's fantastic.
That means a lot. Thanks. Maybe Matt and I can come back on and we can talk about IAB. in the same way.
Oh,
yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
Oh my goodness, that would be hilarious. Well, listen, you're going to be hearing from me because I really would like to see how we can become an integration on your platform, because I know that once one hosting company knows how to offer this, and by that I mean special focus on Matt's job, right? You know, it's like, how can we make this not just easy from an interface experience, user experience, but also, you know, just simplicity of understanding and seeing the flows of what's going on. That'd be great, because I know everyone's going to be all jacked up and want to do it. Yep. So, you know, because that's going to be, a real unique thing that won't take too much. It really won't take much infrastructure from you because it all runs elsewhere.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Would love to. Yeah, absolutely.
What's the best way to find you guys? You want to promote your podcast or anything that you want people to hear about to find you?
I want to plug my Boostagram jingle in the Boostbait GitHub.
Oh, crap.
Which was committed 11 days ago.
Oh, I may not have
oh,
it.
No.
Hold on. What's it called? I'm opening up the Boostbait repo right now. Oh, this is good.
This is the first jingle I ever made.
All right. Which one is it?
Boostagram corner underscore MM. It was committed 11 days ago.
Okay. Hold on.
in the Boostbait repo.
Yeah. Boostagram. Oh, yeah. I see it here.
There it is.
Okay. Trimmed for length. Is that what it is?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I see it.
Hold on a second. Let me.
This is important.
Yeah, this is. I mean, this is hell yeah, man. Let's see what is going on.
Because the it's a full package. It's like the Mr. T starter kit of podcasting.
Yeah, it is. Mr. T starter kit. All right, here we go.
Now it's time for the Boostagram
corner.
Boostagram corner.
I don't know a thing about crypto.
Oh, no, nice.
I like it.
Sweet, man. Sweet. I love that. I love that.
Can that be end of show too?
Yeah. Well, hello. I just re-racked it. Are you kidding me? That's beautiful.
Nice.
All right, Craig, top that.
I can't. No,
do it live, Craig. Do it live.
No, man, I can't. I can't top that. But no, I just say first, thanks for having us on the show. I'll speak for Matt. Like, just a ton of fun to be here and to chat with you guys. And if folks want to check out what we're doing, castiffs.com, check it out.
All right. Thank you both very much. Dave, thank you. Feel better, brother.
Yeah, man.
It sounds like you're already on the upswing, though. That's the good news. And thank you all.
Podcast high.
Hive or high? Thank you all for joining. We'll see you next week right here for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Now it's time for the Boostagram
Corner.
Boostagram Corner.
I don't know a thing about crypto.
Go podcast!